Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great show for you guys today. It is a Wednesday, a lot to get into, giving out my five favorite player props that I like in the NFL. Jenny Carlson's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. Got a massive showdown in the SEC this weekend between Tennessee and Oklahoma. A lot of great storylines in that one. Excited to get Jenny's thoughts there. We're also going to have Kate Constable join us later on in the show for Model Making Money. Get some of Kate's favorite plays throughout the weekend. Plenty of college football talk as well. I'll give out my favorite underdog over under that I like on the card this week. And then yesterday, we looked at the first half of the NFL slate in week three. Today we will dive in to the other half of the games. Bunch of bets that I like on some of these NFL games that we'll be talking about throughout the show. But as always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, let us know. Go in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports as well. Let us know anything that's on your guys' mind. If you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. All right, let's talk some NFL props here in week three. We will start with Indianapolis Colts running back Jonathan Taylor taking his over rushing yards this week at 75.5 against the Chicago Bears. Obviously, that Colts offense did not look good last week against the Green Bay Packers, but JT started to get going a little bit in the second half. Week one, it was all about Anthony Richardson and the big plays that they were making down the field. Week two, they didn't have those explosive plays through the air. I think week three, against a very good Bears defense, Colts are going to lean on the ground game. They're going to lean on Jonathan Taylor. I like his number over 75.5 rushing yards for JT. Next up, Sam Darnold. We're going under his passing yards in week three, under 223.5. Going up against the Houston Texans. Darnold's obviously had a great start to the season, played very well against the Giants, played well last week against his former team in the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of hype around Darnold right now, but we know Minnesota's dealing with some injuries to their receiving core, to their offense, and Houston's got a good defense. D'Amico Ryan's a good defensive mind. I think he's going to do some things to rattle Sam Darnold a little bit, so we'll go under passing yards for Darnold at 223.5. Next up, we'll go with J.K. Dobbins of the Chargers, over 51.5 rushing yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game's got the lowest total of the weekend at 35.5. It's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be a lot like what Steelers and Broncos was last week. Probably the first team to 17, maybe 20, is going to end up winning this game. But J.K. Dobbins has been really good for the Chargers so far this season. Hasn't been running the ball all that much, but man, has he been effective. Week one against the Raiders, he only ran the ball 10 times, but ran for 131 yards, 13.5 yards yards per carry. And then last week against the Panthers, he ran for 135 yards on 17 carries for 7.7 yards per carry. Now they're going up against a different defense this week in Pittsburgh that's much better than the two defenses that they faced already. But Joe Alt, already through two games, looks like he's the real deal up front for the Chargers to go along with Rashawn Slater. We know Jim Harbaugh, his DNA, he wants to run the football. Dobbins has looked good so far this season. I just think this number is too low. So we'll go J.K. Dobbins over 51.5 rushing yards for the Chargers. Next up, Baker Mayfield under 1.5 passing touchdowns at plus 105 against the Broncos. Mike Evans, great receiver for Tampa, as we know, been doing it a long time, but he's got a really tough matchup this week going up against Patrick Surtain. So what is Tampa Bay going to do to kind of counteract that when you can't go to Evans? It's going to be a Godwin game, a Kate Otten game. I just don't know if Baker's going to throw for two or more passing touchdowns. This is a total of 39 in this Denver and Tampa game on Sunday. It's telling me it's going to be lower scoring. Probably expect a lot of field goals like we saw in Detroit and Tampa Bay. So I'll go under 1.5 passing touchdowns for Baker at plus money. And then Lamar Jackson over 48.5 rushing yards for the Ravens at minus 120. Lamar Jackson is 20-1 against the NFC conference in his career. The reason being, these teams that only get to see him once every 4 years, they can't simulate him in practice. They can't simulate him in scout team. You can watch all the film that you want, but Lamar's one of one. And when he gets out on the field, you can have the guy in the right position and he just runs around your linebacker or your defensive end, your safety, whatever it may be. The Ravens are desperate. They got to win on Sunday and they got to do what they always do against the NFC teams, and that's run Lamar. That's the big advantage that they have in these games. So I'll take over 48.5 rushing yards for Lamar at minus 120. So once again, five props that I'm looking at for the NFL this week. Jonathan Taylor, over 75.5 rushing yards. Sam Darnold, under 223.5 passing yards. J.K. Dobbins, over 51.5 rushing yards. Baker Mayfield, under 1.5 passing touchdowns. And Lamar Jackson, over 48.5 rushing yards. All right, from the NFL to college, we check in now with Jenny Carlson, who joins us on the Glasser guest line. Give Jenny a follow on X at Jenny Carlson underscore OK, sports columnist. And check her workout Beyond the Box Score with Jenny Carlson at jennycarlson.substack.com. Jenny, big showdown this week in Norman between Tennessee and Oklahoma. As we kind of get closer and closer to kickoff on Saturday night, what are your initial thoughts on this top 15 matchup?
Well, Oklahoma has not played great in their non-conference schedule. Blew out Temple, a really bad Temple team. Then had a very close call against Houston, 16-12. Really unexpected close call there against a team picked to finish next to last in the Big 12. So alarm bells start going off with that result. A week ago, played better against Tulane, but I think a lot of question marks about the Sooners, particularly their offensive line. And if you don't know Tennessee, the Vols have a defensive line and a defensive end that might be as good a player as there is in college football in James Pierce. So I don't know if Oklahoma's offensive line can do what they need to do against that Tennessee defensive line. I think that's a big, big concern for the Sooners heading into this game. But obviously a lot of juice with this being OU's first SEC conference game. So I think it's going to be a heck of a game. It's going to be a lot of energy. But man, that line of scrimmage for Oklahoma, I think that's going to be a tough, tough battle for them.
Do you think that if Arnold continues to struggle at quarterback, Jenny, would Venables consider maybe making a change? I mean, we're only three games into the season, but through those first three games, he hasn't thrown for more than 200 passing yards yet. You mentioned the O-line has struggled, so it's certainly not all on him. I know the receiving corps has some injuries as well. Have they been talking about that? Is there any chatter that maybe they would make a change at quarterback, or do you think that Arnold is their guy?
I think Arnold is their guy. You know, Michael Hawkins is a true freshman backup. They've got Casey Thompson, who's been a journeyman, started at Texas, went to Nebraska and Florida Atlantic before coming back to Oklahoma. He's from the Norman area. His dad is a legacy Sooner, Charles Thompson. So, a really great story. But Michael Hawkins would likely be the guy if Jackson Arnold were to go to the bench. But no, I don't think Jackson Arnold is in jeopardy of losing his job. Now, things may change on Saturday. If Oklahoma, if the Oklahoma offense allows the Tennessee defense to score a touchdown or two in a pick six situation or a fumble return situation, maybe that changes the dynamic as it relates to Jackson Arnold. But to this point, I'm just not sure that Oklahoma's offensive line has done enough to really, feel like Jackson Arnold is, if there's blame being thrown around, it's not necessarily him. He has not played great, but, you know, he is a second-year guy who's only made four starts as a college quarterback. Yes, he came in very highly regarded. And when you see some of the guys that are in the same class, including the guy who's going to be on the other side of the field on Saturday, having good numbers, great success, I know that throws people for a loop. They want Jackson Arnold to perform that way right away. But I do think, that offensive line has hampered things. They didn't want to show a ton of the playbook if they didn't have to against these non-conference opponents. They probably had to do that more than they would have liked, considering how poorly that Houston game went. But I do think there's a chance that we see Jackson Arnold on the move more in this game, whether that means he actually runs the ball or they move the pocket for him. I think that could be a winning strategy. So if they start to do some of those things and we still see Jackson Arnold struggling, then there might be some serious conversation about what else could be possible at quarterback for Oklahoma. But right now, I don't think there's any serious talk internally about Jackson Arnold giving way to Michael Hawkins.
Yeah, Jenny, I was going to ask you about that. You know, for people that obviously are going to be tuned into this game, maybe want to bet player props if they're looking at things for Oklahoma, like would Jackson Arnold rushing props be a thing to look at? Because we really saw Oklahoma kind of scheme some things for him running the football. Do you think they continue to do that against Tennessee? Do you think that they use him, as a runner to try and slow down that Tennessee pass rush?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I think it's pretty likely. I mean, it's a little bit uncomfortable when you see a quarterback who has to take off and run. I know it happens. We were sort of talking after the game on Saturday that was very reminiscent of Baker Mayfield's first year as the Oklahoma quarterback. They used him a lot running the football, and while he did have some injuries, a concussion at one point, it was not related necessarily to that first year. But after that, they really stopped running him as much for the sake of running. They would get him on the move, but more to throw. And so is that something that maybe Oklahoma has to go back to and just using Jackson Arnold's feet to really keep the defense a little more honest? I think it's probably likely that he does get quite a few touches in the run game against Tennessee. Again, from an injury standpoint, you always worry when a quarterback is exposed in the run game. But right now with the offensive line and the situation they're facing, they can get healthy on the offensive line. Maybe that changes. But right now, that's a weapon that they have, Jackson Arnold's feet. So I would not be surprised to see him get, double-digit runs, out there. 10, 12 would not surprise me at all.
I will say, too, for all the people listening, if you do like Jackson Arnold rushing props, just keep in mind in college football, when a quarterback gets sacked, that does count towards their rushing yards, unlike in the NFL. Jenny, I'm trying to break down this game, and I always like correlating kind of the spread to the total, right? And do you think there's any way that Oklahoma can win this game or keep it close in a shootout, like a game in the 30s or 40s? Or do you think that their path to victory would be mucking this thing up and winning like a 24-20 kind of game, somewhere in those low 20s? When you look at the game, do you think that's their only kind of path to victory, is winning a lower scoring game?
Yeah, I think for Oklahoma to win this game, their defense has got to play great. And to this point, it looks like they have a defense that has the potential to play that way. Brent Venables, when he came in a couple years ago, one of the things that he was tasked with was getting the defense back on more solid footing. Oklahoma had such great offensive teams with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts. Had they had a defense that was, I don't know, half as good as their offense, they might have not only made the playoff but won the whole darn thing. I mean, they had an offense that was fantastic, and their defense could just never hold up in those playoff games. So Brent Venables, knowing that the SEC was on the horizon, needed to come in and fix the defense, and they really have. I mean, they've got much better players, much better depth, much better talent on that defense, and we've seen it come to the fore in these first three games, even though the non-conference opponents were not not great. They really have played, you know, solid to at times outstanding defense. So against Tennessee, I mean, this Oklahoma defense is going to be unlike anything Tennessee has seen to this point. NC State really the only team thus far on their schedule that you could say posed a challenge, and I'm not sure NC State's all that great. I think Oklahoma is a big step up defensively over what Tennessee has seen. So can they, you know, can they halt this Tennessee run game that's been, frankly, running wild? Can they get to the quarterback? Can they make him make decisions that he might not otherwise want to make? Because they have a, while I think the defensive front, the defensive line, definitely the least experienced part of the Oklahoma defense, their linebackers are fantastic, so that front seven becomes really formidable, and then their secondary might be the strength of the team, led by Billy Bowman, but they've got guys in that secondary that they think can really affect the game. So, yeah, I think for Oklahoma to win this game, the defense has to play great. So anything, if this game gets into the 30s, I don't think Oklahoma's winning in the 30s, but 20s, I think that's a much more likely scenario, a much more likely path to victory for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Can't wait to see how it all plays out. Jenny Carlson joined us here on Send It In. Give her a follow on X at @JennyCarlson_OK. Sports columnist, and check out her work for Beyond the Box Score with Jenny Carlson at JennyCarlson.Substack.com. Jenny, always great having you on the show. Enjoy the game on Saturday. Hope to catch up again soon.
You got it. Thanks.
Absolutely. All right. Great stuff there from Jenny. We keep the college football conversation rolling here on Send It In. I see you guys are sending in a bunch of questions in the chat. Love that. Keep them coming. B Mills, all right, PJ, I figured out my college football teaser. I'm taking Tennessee on the money line and Baylor +8.5 against Colorado. I think that's awesome, B Mills. I don't love usually teasing college football, but I do like Tennessee to win, and I think Baylor wins outright. So I like getting them at the +8.5. I think that's a great teaser leg. Johnny McTwitchy, Clemson and NC State over 46.5, and Mississippi State to crush Florida. I do like the over in that Clemson game. I like NC State to cover the big number as well. Mississippi State and Florida, Johnny, I am not touching with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't get anywhere near that game. Mississippi State just lost by like 3 touchdowns to Toledo, and it looks like Florida's already quit on Billy Napier. The Gators are laying 6 on the road in Starkville. I don't know what I'm getting out of either of those teams, so no opinion there. And then Jesse 430, do you like Boston College to cover the 6.5 hosting Michigan State? That's one of the more interesting lines of the week. And, you know, BC obviously played pretty well against Missouri. Michigan State's in their first year under head coach Jonathan Smith with Aiden Childs. I think if we get a 7, I would like Michigan State. At 6.5, it's probably a stay away for me, but that's one of the more underrated games of the weekend. By far the best team that Michigan State will have played this season, and excited to watch BC off of that loss to Missouri. But a lot of good questions from you guys there. Some of the games that I like this week in college football, we'll start with a couple totals that I like. The over in Utah State and Temple at 53.5. I would take the over in that game. I watched the entire Utah State and Utah game last week, and Utah State's a team that runs an extremely fast offense. They spread you out. They want to run up tempo, and going up against Temple, who's like one of the worst teams in FBS college football, I think they'll be able to score a fair amount of points. But as you can see on your screen, Utah State's only favored by 6.5 this weekend against Temple. So odds makers think that the Owls are going to be able to keep it close in this game. I don't really see Temple slowing down Utah State all that much. So I think the Owls are going to be able to keep pace with them a little bit. I'll take the over 53.5 in that matchup. An under that I like is going to be Rutgers and Virginia Tech at 44.5. Both of these teams are kind of the same in how they're molded, how they're taught, how they're coached under Greg Schiano for Rutgers and under Brent Pry for Virginia Tech. I think the under is a good play. Both teams have running quarterbacks. Both teams want to run the clock. They want to possess the ball. Both teams have good defenses that they want to lean on. And more importantly, when you're betting an under like this, both teams are comfortable playing lower scoring games. So I know Virginia Tech offense exploded against Old Dominion last week. It's Old Dominion wouldn't look really too much into it. Last year when these two teams played, it was kind of a lower scoring game until drones came in and gave Virginia Tech a different look on offense. But I'll take the under 44.5. A favorite that I like this week is going to be Texas Tech -3 against Arizona State. Kenny Dillingham's done a great job in year two there with the Sun Devils, but going on the road, playing at Lubbock, which is a tough place to play in college football. Texas Tech's offense last week scored 66 points. I know it was against North Texas, but their offense looks like it's starting to hit a little bit of a groove. I like getting Texas Tech at the flat three, so we will take them against ASU. An underdog that I like this week, we talked about it earlier on, Middle Tennessee +14.5 against Duke. Anytime I can get one of these group of five teams that are at home and are playing one of these power four teams out of the ACC, the SEC, Big 12, whatever it may be, I'm usually always taking the underdog. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of these group of five players, right? Like, you get to go up against a big time program. Even though Duke's obviously not what they are in basketball, still a team out of the ACC. Duke's undefeated. I think they're going to be looking ahead a little bit to North Carolina next week. So I like Middle Tennessee. They got a good coach, Rick Stockstill. Has been there forever, getting a good number at 14.5. I'll take the Blue Raiders. And then an underdog I like to win outright this week is going to be the Louisiana Raging Cajuns +125 against Tulane. I think this is a really bad scheduling spot for Tulane. Two tough back-to-back games. They had Kansas State on the ropes in New Orleans a couple weeks ago, lost that game. Then they had a dogfight against Oklahoma in Norman last week. Now you got to turn around and go on the road and play Louisiana, who's coming off a bye week. So they're fresh. They're ready to go. They've been prepping for Tulane for 2 weeks, whereas Tulane's had two really tough battles back-to-back with Kansas State and Oklahoma. So I'll take Louisiana on the money line at +120. All right, let's get into some games that I like here in week three in the NFL. We will start with the Panthers and the Raiders, and I think a lot of people are going to be on the Panthers this week. It's not one of my favorite plays, but if I had to bet it, it probably would be Carolina at +5.5. Andy Dalton is way more of an upgrade than Bryce Young is, and it's still early on in the season where I think a change like this is going to be good for the locker room. Plus, the Raiders are going to come off as big an emotional win as they're going to have all year. Come back like that, 10-point deficit against Baltimore, and now you got to come home and play the worst team in football. I'll take the Panthers plus the points. Dolphins and Seahawks, really no play for me on this game. If anything, I would look at a Dolphins team total under, or maybe a full game under in this game. You get Mike McDonald, one of the best defensive minds in football, going up against a backup quarterback in Skylar Thompson. And Mike McDonald last year, when he went up against the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, whether it was Shanahan or whether it was McDaniel, look at what the Ravens defense did to some of those teams last season. Bobby Slowick in Houston being another one of them. So he normally knows how to stop these kind of Shanahan-like offenses. I'd look at a Dolphins team total under there in that one. Ravens and Cowboys, we've talked about this game. Lamar's 20-1 against the NFC. Ravens are 0-2. They're desperate. They're great as a team, bouncing back off of difficult losses. They're going to play really well. It does worry me that we're getting Dallas off of a blowout loss as well, but I'll take the Ravens on the money line. Rams +7.5 against San Francisco. Nobody's going to want the Rams this week. Cup's hurt. Puka's hurt. Their O-line's a mess. San Francisco's coming off of a loss. These games tend to always be close, though. We know Shanahan dominates Sean McVay, but I think getting McVay in a spot like this where nobody likes the Rams, you get a home underdog at +7.5, and they're an 0-2 team. I'll take the Rams in that spot. Lions are another bet that I love this week, -3 against Arizona. The last eight games that the Lions have lost straight up in their next game, they're 8-0 against the spread. Dan Campbell always does a great job of getting this team ready to bounce back off of a loss. We're getting a good number with them at 3 on the road. Arizona's defense, I'm not quite sold on yet. I think this is the game where the Lions offense could finally get rolling. I would lean towards the Chiefs -3.5 against Atlanta in their game on Sunday night. The Falcons game, like the conversation around the Falcons would be so different if Saquon Barkley catches that pass. The look-ahead line in this game was 4.5. Now it dropped down to 3.5. It feels like it should be more towards the 4.5, 5. Outside of the last drive, Kirk Cousins really didn't play all that well, so I'd probably lean towards the Chiefs -3.5. The Jags are probably my favorite bet of the week, +5.5. against the Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to win this game outright. Jacksonville's been in both of their first two games. Their defense has played pretty well in their first two games. Just got to make winning plays down the stretch. But getting 5.5, too many points. I like the Jags in that spot. And then the Bengals and the Commanders. I see Moist Cupcakes is asking me what my survivor pick would be for this week. It would be Cincinnati. This is what they do. Burrow and the Bengals are starting their third consecutive year off 0-2, but in week three, that's when they win those games. So I'll take Cincinnati as my survivor play, and I think they're a great teaser leg this week at -1.5 against the Commanders as well. All right, guys, a promo from our friends at BetMGM to tell you about. We've all had our first touchdown bet vulture to call back before with BetMGM's Pro Football Second Chance. We're giving you a second chance on first TD bets this season. You can place any first touchdown wager, and if your player doesn't score first but scores second, you get your entire stake back in cash, no opt-in required. How it works, you place a pregame, straight first touchdown bet score in any NFL game. If your player scores the first touchdown in the game, you win your wager as normal. If your player scores the second touchdown in a game, you'll get your stake back in cash. Only straight bets apply to second chance. Any wager using a bonus bet or other reward token is ineligible for the campaign. All right, let's get to model making money. Check in with Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. Kate, excited to get some of your thoughts on week three in the NFL. Before we do that, what is the BetQL model like for us today?
Hey, PJ. Yeah, BetQL model in Major League Baseball today, Diamondbacks and Rockies. It likes the over 10.5. This game is being played in Colorado, so overs are oftentimes very prevalent there, just with the altitude there. And Arizona, they're hitting 333 against Austin Gomber, who's pitching for the Rockies today. So a good matchup in terms of projecting many runs for the Diamondbacks today. These two teams also met last night. They finished with 10 runs, so lost by the hook if that line was 10.5, but tonight the model likes it to go over the 10.5 runs.
All right, very nice. Kate, what about yourself? What are some of your best bets for this evening?
Yeah, so PJ, this game is not tonight. There's no WNBA tonight, but tomorrow is the final game of the regular season. And I'm looking at the over 162.5 in the Fever and Mystics. The Mystics are still not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, so it's a long shot. They have to have some help from a couple other teams, but they're still alive. And so I expect them to come with a lot of effort tomorrow night. The Fever, on the other hand, they're locked into the sixth seed. They likely won't be playing their top-tier players. I don't think Caitlin Clark's going to be in the game, if at all, very long. But the pace for Indy is always there. You're going to see a little defense from Indy because they're not going to be totally locked into this one. This game doesn't matter for them. But you will get that maximum effort from Washington. So I think we see plenty of points in this one. I will take over 162.5.
All right, very good. Kate, tomorrow night, week three kicks off in the NFL. Patriots and Jets. Any plays for you? Sides, totals, props, anything that you like?
Yeah, I have a total and a prop for you here, PJ. I like the under tomorrow night. I know it's a really low total, but I think both of these teams are going to want to run the ball and just rely heavily on their defenses. New England right now, they are fifth in the league in run frequency over their first two games of the season, and they're having to rely heavily on the run game because really they don't have much of a passing game. Like, their position players on the outside are not all that great at all. So they have to rely on the run game. Patriots defense has performed better than expected. Aaron Rodgers has looked a little shaky. I know he's been a little bit better, or was a little bit better, in that week two game, but this is now the Jets' third game in 10 days. So I kind of wonder how Rodgers is going to look and if he's going to struggle at all behind an offensive line that's good, but probably pretty tired and banged up with how much they've played over the last 10 days. So I think it's just hard to see either of these teams have enough big explosive plays for this to be kind of a back and forth higher scoring game. So I'm leaning towards the under. I believe 38.5 is where that is sitting at right now over at BetMGM. And then I also like Ramondre Stevenson to go over 15.5 carries. Again, Patriots love to run the ball. 57% of their plays are on the ground. Stevenson had 21 and 25 carries throughout the first 2 weeks. His 46 total carries are the third most amongst all running backs this season. If you look at some grades over at PFF, fifth best run grade, fifth best offensive grade overall. So I like Stevenson to have a heavy workload and go over 15.5 carries.
Very nice. I like Stevenson overs tomorrow as well. I like the under on the full game. Also, Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. Some great stuff from Kate. We always appreciate it, and we'll catch up again soon. Thanks, Kate.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show with PJ's plays. Some more comments coming in. I love it. You guys are on it today. Reed Phillips Rad, with the surprise start from the Pats, does Mayo have a shot at Coach of the Year? I just think because of how many other surprises, Reed, there's been so far, right? Certainly the Saints, the Bucks have stayed hot. The Steelers are off to a 2-0 start. Right now, I kind of want to see the Pats play a little bit more, so I don't think Mayo would be worth the bet. Johnny McTwitchy, Charlotte, +28.5. Indiana drinking too much of their Kool-Aid. That's the way I would definitely lean. You know, it would only be Charlotte or pass for me. Indiana absolutely blew out UCLA. They got a lot of love from people right now. Whenever people are buying high on a team, you guys know how I am. I like fading those teams. So it would be Charlotte or pass for me. Moist Cupcakes, I have the Bengals locked in for Survivor as well. Just wish they would pay Ja'Marr Chase. I'm shocked. They honestly haven't at this point, but I completely agree with you. As for some plays for tonight, Ketel Marte, we're taking him in going streaking. He's 8-for-21 against Austin Gomber in his career, batting .292 this season as well. Marte's our play in going streaking. Our prop lock, I mentioned it earlier, Dobbins over 51.5 rushing yards on Sunday against the Steelers. He's ran for 130 or more in his first two games this season. Dog of the day is going to be the San Francisco Giants +135 against the Orioles. Giants were our best bet last night. Folks, the Giants shouldn't be, or the Orioles shouldn't be -160 to anybody right now. Their offense can't hit, and that's exactly why the Orioles team total under 4.5 runs is going to be my best bet of the night. The Orioles have gone under this in 9 of their last 10 games. The only game that they scored over 4.5 runs was when they scored 5. Their offense is a mess. They can't hit. Take their under, team total under. Take the Giants to win the game as well. Thanks again to Jenny Carlson, Kate Constable. If you guys missed any part of the show, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Tomorrow, we give out all of our favorite plays of the day. We'll see you then.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.